Welcome to Energy Matters, where we explore alternative health in the Pioneer Valley. I'm your host, Caroline Rutterman, and I'm a Reiki teacher in Northampton, Massachusetts. For the past 8 years, I've been teaching people how to reduce anxiety and burnout. Together, we'll talk with other practitioners and learn how they bring health and healing to the Pioneer Valley. Let's do this. Hey, welcome, welcome, everyone. You are listening to Energy Matters, and I am your host, Caroline Rutterman. And we are sitting down today with a massage therapist, Kate Hennessy. Welcome, Kate.
Thanks so much, Caroline. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So on your website, you talk about that you are a trauma-informed and deep tissue massage. Can you tell us a little bit about what is trauma-informed massage?
Yeah, so I first became interested in trauma-informed massage when I started volunteering at People's Medicine Project.
Oh, I love that place. We've had them on the show here.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, it's so great. Such a great resource for folks.
Yep. Do you want to tell them really quickly what the People's Medicine Project is in Greenfield?
Yeah, so their goal, their focus is to provide free alternative health and wellness services. So that's anything from acupuncture, craniosacral, Reiki, herbalism, and massage therapy. So that's for folks with a history of substance abuse and people with trauma as well.
Absolutely. So you were volunteering up there.
Yeah, I started in September, and I've kind of always been interested in reaching another population with massage. And I reached out to Leslie, and we connected and been learning a lot about it. And for me, being trauma informed is being super respectful of every person that I'm working with and not providing any kind of advice or insight unless asked. But really for me, it's about listening with compassion and trust. And for some folks that have had a history of trauma, they don't like being touched in a certain area. So for me, it's really important also to have a pretty thorough intake process and ask if there's any area to be avoided. And I always check in about pressure a few minutes into the session, during the session. And if they're not comfortable giving verbal cues with if something doesn't feel right, or if they just decided that, oh, I really don't want my feet touched, to kind of just wave their hand and let me know that that's an area that should be avoided.
And so when you say something like, you know, try to be like a really good listener and not give any kind of unprompted advice, that's something that I feel like on accident people do all the time is
right.
Not fully being present, listening, and, you know, sometimes just giving a quick suggestion about solutions or something. So how do you hold back? I mean, how do you get yourself into that state of mind of being a good listener and you know, kind of practicing those trauma-informed practices?
Right. It's definitely a challenge. I do catch myself giving advice, insight, more so to clients in my own practice, just because it's more private. And at People's Medicine Project at the Recovery Center in Greenfield, it's very communal. So it's an open room where everyone's kind of talking, and acupuncturists, craniosacral therapists. And I really, for me, just listening, it can be difficult, but for most of the clients that I see, I don't know them super well. I've seen some of them mostly just once or twice. So I can't really assume anything about their health history or their concerns besides what they let me know in person. But it's also being a massage therapist, I try to stay within my scope of practice. So giving advice about nutrition or herbs, that's not really my specialty. Maybe I know a little bit about that stuff, but I don't feel comfortable giving people advice when that's not my focus. And there's other folks there that can give that advice.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of mindfulness to maintain that, but probably people probably feel it when they're there.
Right.
Yeah. Lovely. So, so tell me a little bit about deep tissue massage, because I know that there's so many types of massage therapy. Can you tell us a little bit about what deep tissue means from a practitioner's point of view?
Right. Yeah. So I went to the massage school in East Hampton. I graduated there a few years ago, and kind of the focus, what I learned there, what I felt like I learned and did the best at, was doing deep tissue massage. And that, it works well for so many different kinds of people. And for me, what works best with clients is kind of focusing on different areas of pain. So when people say, oh, I have like this huge knot in my back, and it's not a knot, it's could be one of two things. It could be a trigger point. So that's an area of pain that refers pain to another area of your body. So that could be in your shoulder. And if I'm applying pressure there, with usually I use my elbows, kind of just lean in, and it goes up to your neck, then that's a trigger point.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. And then a tender point is kind of just an area of pain that's kind of painful, but not referring anywhere else, kind of just concentrated in that area. So deep tissue massage, what the work that I do focuses on that. And doing that, I work kind of slowly to tune into those areas and apply pressure and kind of just sit there for a little bit. Kind of working slow and with intention, I think, is pretty much how I work.
So it being deep tissue, it means that you're like getting in there.
Right.
On a deeper muscular level.
Right. It's beyond the surface level of our body, kind of in between the muscles and the bones, like the fascia, that layer.
So when somebody's looking at all these different types of massage therapies, what would make from a consumer standpoint, what would make somebody say like, oh, I need deep tissue rather than sports massage or Swedish or trigger point, or, you know, the list goes on and on.
Right. Yeah. So I've seen a number of people with chronic pain. So pain from maybe autoimmune disease, or pain also from an injury that's kind of been lasting for a long time, or from an acute injury where something just happened and you have severe pain in one area of your body. So I would say those are the two best, but athletes can also really benefit from deep tissue massage. I have some clients that I work with pretty regularly that really benefit from relieving soreness, and it also helps to recover faster after a workout as well.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, very nice. Do you, what's your favorite type of massage to receive?
So I'm not actually like a deep tissue kind of person. I would say, I mean, I benefit from it, but I don't like feeling so much pain when I'm receiving massage. Mm-hmm. So probably somewhere between like a Swedish and deep tissue. I've had a few massages that involved cupping. I'm not sure if you know much about cupping.
Yeah, well, tell people what cupping is, how you understand it.
Yeah, so I don't practice it in my practice right now. I hope to learn this year. But it's silicone cups that are kind of, you put on certain parts of the body where there's a lot of tension, pain, and it kind of sucks up your skin, and you can kind of adjust the tension to be, you know, really hard, but you can also move the cups around. And it's hard to explain how it feels, but it just feels so great. It feels so good. So I really enjoyed that, and it really also makes it easier for the massage therapist to work deeper. So it kind of takes some pressure off the massage therapist, but you're still getting a pretty thorough massage.
Yeah, it almost just sucks. Well, in acupuncture, it's used on traditional Chinese medicine in that kind of form. And they say it kind of like pulls out a lot of the stagnancy. So the cups, if you've ever seen anyone that has these circular, different colored bruises almost,
right.
they're you're pulling the toxins and the stagnancy in that kind of language straight out of the muscle.
Right, right, exactly.
Straight out. But it looks like a giant hickey on your back.
Right,
circular,
yeah.
Circular hickey.
Yeah, it's really gaining popularity. I think Michael Phelps did that while he was training for the Olympics.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So you enjoy getting cupping.
Mm-hmm, I do. Yeah, I'm hoping to take a class this spring to incorporate into my practice.
Very cool.
Yeah.
When did you get started with your whole massage therapy career?
Yeah. So it started... So I moved to the Valley about 5.5 years ago. And when I moved here, I did a lot of farming. I worked probably on like 5 or 6 different farms in the Valley. And I really loved using my hands, having that connection to the earth.
Did they get you at the People's Medicine Project? Did they get you to work on their herb farm up there?
No, I haven't. I would love to, though.
I should talk
to Leslie about that.
I'm sure she'll rope you in.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So you started working on farms.
Yeah. And I loved having that connection to the earth. And I just feel so blessed to live here. Just the abundance of local food, the access, it's super, super incredible. But it proved to be really hard on my body. Particularly, I was working at doing CSA distribution in a barn, concrete floor, lifting, 50 pounds of vegetables at a time for 9 hours a day. It was really hard. And
get strong.
Yeah. I knew I couldn't sustain it long term. And I knew that there was something else that I wanted to do, something kind of deeper. So in the winter 2016, massage just like popped into my mind one day after kind of meditating on what's the next step, what else do I want to do? And I found out that the massage school, East Hampton, was right down the road from where I was living. So I applied and just kind of knew after visiting, talking with some of the teachers there, that it was what I wanted to do.
Wow.
So,
that's
cool. Yeah, it's been really rewarding. Yeah.
That's fabulous. Yeah, I think sometimes when you have those moments of career change, it's sometimes people are just like, well, I'm just going to try this one. And then you try these new things, and then all of a sudden something just feels so right.
Right.
Exactly. I remember when I had a career change, when I was going into Reiki, I was so stressed out. I had already transitioned out of working in vintage. And so I started working regular retail because that was sort of parallel. And I just had a job that kind of took a little piece of my soul away. And I just randomly, trying to feel better, took a Reiki 1 workshop.
Okay.
And 8.5 years later,
doing
awesome. It professionally. So sometimes you just get those moments of clarity and you're like, this is it.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. That's really cool that you found massage therapy.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a short break. We're going to listen to Gladys Knight and the Pips, Midnight Train to Georgia. So stay tuned. You're listening to Energy Matters, and we're chatting today with massage therapist Kate Hennessy. So stay tuned, everyone.
He's leaving the life he's come to know. Ooh.
He said he's going.
He said he's going back to find.
Going back to find.
Ooh, what's left of his world? The world he left behind. Not so long.
Place
of time.
Right by his side.
Now I'll be with him.
I know.
And welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Energy Matters. I'm your host, Caroline Retterman, and we are here interviewing Kate Hennessy, who is a trauma-informed massage therapist and deep tissue massage therapist. So welcome back, Kate.
Yeah, thanks, Caroline.
Absolutely. So on your website, if you're just tuning in and you're curious more about Kate Hennessy, you can go to khmassage.com. But on your website, you talk about you work really slowly to calm the nervous system. Can you explain what you mean by that in your practice?
Absolutely. So I believe that intentional touch with consent helps us to move from fight or flight mode, so that's the sympathetic nervous system, to rest and digest, which is our parasympathetic nervous system. So massage is one way to do that. And for me, working slowly allows me to be really mindful about what I'm doing. And that's one of the reasons why I got into massage therapy, to have a job where I can focus all my attention on one task at a time. And I've had massages from some therapists that just move their hands, elbows, everything really fast. And I find that to be just too stimulating. And just for my personality, for my work, for my clients, it just feels better to kind of move my hands, arms, elbows really slowly with thoughtfulness and just being aware of what they're experiencing and how I'm feeling as well.
I would imagine that when you're creating such slow movements, that you'd also be almost setting that overall pace for the other
right.
person to adjust to you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's really neat.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm trying to understand is when you're shifting somebody from going into fight or flight mode, and when you're shifting them into more of a relaxed state of mind, calming their nervous system down, how can you tell that shift has happened when they're laying face down on the table in front of you? What are the clues that you see on somebody else's body?
Right.
Or that you feel?
Yeah. Well, I would say that one thing that I notice, if I have someone who's kind of nervous, they're talking on the table, and That's one thing that I really try to steer away from. Some massage therapists are known to be kind of chatty, and I won't engage in conversation. I might answer, but I really try to just kind of like, not, I wouldn't say shut things down, but just keep working. And how I know that they're calming down is that they stop talking or take deep breaths. Having someone take a deep breath kind of signals to me that they're more present with what they're experiencing.
I love that.
Yeah.
Do you find that people persist in talking no matter your responses? Are some folks just always wanting to connect and conversate and relax in that fashion?
I do have some clients that are like that. But most often people just want to tune into their body, and the session's for them, it's not for me. So they're welcome to keep talking or not talking. But for the most part, I would say most of my clients talk for a few minutes and then kind of just release and try to be present in their body. And yeah.
I like that. Yeah. And then, you know, like, do you fit? I know, you know, on your website, you talk a lot about how massage is self-care and it's not a luxury item. It's you know, kind of should be a basic practice. How do you find that fits into your world?
Right. Yeah. So it's to be honest, it's one thing that I kind of struggle with. Not, I wouldn't say constantly, but every so often, because it's the way that things are priced now, it's just tailored more for people that have money, that can afford it. And I guess that's one of the reasons why I volunteer with People's Medicine Projects, so I can reach different people. And What was the other part of your question about how that fits in for me?
How do you receive massage therapy regularly?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I, for the first couple years when I finished massage school, I would do a lot of trades with friends. But over the past year, things have gotten kind of crazy.
That's a nice reason to get into massage therapy is to do trades with friends.
That's another reason why I got into it, is to have a skill with my hands that I can trade with other people, not just for other body work, but for herbs, vegetables. I did a barter with Just Roots Farm in Greenfield this past summer for vegetables. But even if I wasn't doing massage now, I would definitely be receiving massage at least once a month. And that's what I aim for right now, once a month.
That's cool. Yeah. I bet those Just Roots farmers were loving getting trade for their hard labor.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they definitely need it. Yeah.
And I can imagine having a background in farming that you would understand the deep nature of massage therapy for doing field work and farm work.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. When somebody does kind of labor like that, what do you notice on their body? Because you said that you used to work on concrete floors and that you were lifting 50-pound bags. What are the tight spots for somebody who's kind of working in that fashion?
Mostly upper back, the shoulders, kind of down along the spine and underneath the shoulder blades. So we have the scapula, rhomboids, trapezius muscles on top of the shoulders, neck too. But to be honest, kind of everyone that I work with has tension there. It's probably the most common complaint that I receive from clients is if I ask what area you want me to focus on, it's almost always shoulders and neck.
Why is that?
I think it's how we hold ourselves, our work that we do, whether typing at a computer or doing physical labor. It's just, it's kind of just how it is being a human, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the tightness, is that from people curling forward, or is it from what is happening that creates those that tightness holding in that part of the body from your observations?
Yeah, I would say holding forward, kind of slouching, having your shoulders push forward instead of having them like held back. Posture is a big one as well. Typing at a computer, most people are kind of hunched over, have their shoulders in front of them rather than holding them up straight.
Can massage therapy correct posture? If it's like a shoulder thing, if it's kind of curling in and that's sort of been, is that something that like a deep tissue massage would be able to kind of help correct?
I think that it could help. I don't have so much experience in my own practice to say that someone's posture has been adjusted. I do think that it can help, but I would be more inclined to, if someone was really having posture problems, I would say combine massage therapy with seeing a chiropractor.
Yeah, absolutely. So get it from different angles there.
Yeah, absolutely. The one thing that I've realized doing massage, receiving massage, is it's not one, it's not a fix-all. It's not a cure-all for anything. But I think that most people in this world, I think as most people are becoming more conscious and aware, we know that there's not one answer for everything.
Yeah. I mean, I feel that way even in my practice too. It's sometimes I'm like, you know, you really could get a physical adjustment here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether it's chiropractic or some kind of, you know, like physical manipulation that would help correct what's happening in this spinal area. And even like I move a lot of dense emotional energy and belief systems out of people's energy fields. And sometimes that physical touch is really, really important to people. And it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
How has massage therapy receiving massage therapy directly impacted your physical body, your mental, emotional, all of it?
Yeah. Well, I think that, or I felt like for me, when I started massage school, I kind of had I don't know, this is kind of like a big thing to say, but I felt like I had more of a spiritual kind of wake up call. So I felt the effects, I would say, most immediately physically, more emotionally and mentally, just feeling way calmer, easier to adapt to stress emotionally, just kind of just feeling lighter in spirit. And physically, it came at the right time, because while I was in massage school, I was still farming. So I didn't know that I really need a massage until I started receiving it and really saw the benefits then.
Isn't that the truth, right? You're like, I didn't even know I needed it until I started receiving it.
Yeah. I mean, I received a few massages before I started massage school, but I was much younger and wasn't doing much manual labor then. But yeah, even now, if I stopped massaging, I would definitely be receiving massage very regularly.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Was that intense doing, I mean, massage therapy is pretty physical.
Right. Yeah.
Was that kind of an intense period when you were working, when you were farming, as well as going to school for massage therapy? What was that like for you?
Oh, yeah. It was so intense. It was definitely too much. I definitely have a history of pushing myself way too hard in my work. I would say the past year or so, I've really stepped back from that. This past summer was the first summer that I hadn't farmed in, yeah, I guess 4 years or so.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, it proved to be too much in my body doing both of those jobs at the same time. So last summer the summer of 2018, I made the decision that would be the last summer of doing both.
Wow. Yeah. Was there a moment that you were like, no more farming?
Kind of. I mean, I can't pinpoint a day, but I remember just feeling way too sore and just it being way too much. I mean, I do still have a stretching routine now that I do most days, but I don't need it as much as I used to when I was farming and massaging.
Mm. Is the stretching routine to get yourself limber for a full day of massage therapy?
Yeah, sometimes I do sometimes I do stretches before sessions. Other times I do them in between. I find that to be most helpful when I'm waiting for a client. Just stretching my arms, doing a lot of wall stretches. I can't, I can show you right now, but holding my arm against the wall, kind of opening up the chest, because that's not, those muscles were not muscles that I was really aware of until I started
the massaging. Muscles across the chest?
Yeah, the muscles across the chest. So I've really been focusing a lot of my attention stretching those muscles, but then also doing thread the needle, pigeon pose, downward dog. I guess I have like a few that I turn to that really help alleviate tension, mostly in the shoulders.
Yeah. The shoulders again, right?
Yeah. It all comes back to that, I guess.
Yeah. I guess we're a little top heavy in our culture from working in front of the computer and using our head, and the shoulders
absolutely
definitely capture the first overflow of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's take another short break. Let's go and listen to The Supremes, You Can't Hurry Love. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Energy Matters. I'm your host, Caroline Rederman, and our guest today is Kate Hennessy. So stay tuned. We'll be back with more massage talk.
I need time, no matter how long it takes, but how
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Energy Matters. I'm your host, Caroline Rederman, and we are here with Kate Hennessy. So welcome back, Kate.
Hi, Caroline.
Hi. So I would love to know a little bit more, especially working in the healing arts. I know that working with other people, whether it's customer service or just generally working with people, it's really important to take care of ourselves first.
Right.
So tell me about your personal routine for self-care.
Right. Yeah, so I definitely have a routine that I do every morning. It's kind of simple, nothing too fancy. Wake up, brush my teeth, drink lemon water, meditate, sit down, meditate. Sometimes it's only 5 minutes, other times it's 20 minutes. Kind of depends on the day. And I've been going for walks every morning, and that's been really grounding and kind of kickstarts my day and gives me energy.
You pass all the fields that you don't have to farm anymore.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I do in the morning. In the evening, it's a little less structured. It kind of depends on how many sessions I've done that day or if I have a day off. But usually after dinner, kind of just wind down, have a cup of tea, and read a good book, write in my journal. Pretty simple. Sometimes I'll do a yoga flow if I feel like I really need to calm my mind or just feel super sore. I also really like taking a bath or shower before bed too.
So it sounds like you really do pack in a lot in the beginning and a lot at the end of the day to really end cap the work.
Yeah. I definitely talk about self-care a lot with friends, family, and I don't, like I said earlier, I really try not to give advice to clients unless they're asking for it and if I feel comfortable sharing what I know. But for me, it's pretty important, and it's not something that has to be fancy or cost a lot of money. You know, it can just be a walk in the woods or a cup of tea.
Yeah. So at home practices,
right,
are super, super important.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what impact do you feel like those morning and evening rituals have for you?
I would say they're definitely very grounding, for sure. And I think that's something that's really important for my work, to feel kind of stable, grounded, and confident in what I'm doing, what I'm putting out, and what I'm receiving.
Lovely. And as you're kind of going throughout the day, do you find that you have little, I know you kind of mentioned in between clients, you have little rituals, like kind of little stretching routines,
right,
that you have. Do you find that you have specific things to help clear the space? Because I know that sometimes when you're working with people and helping them to release, whether it's trigger points or kind of areas of tension within their body, that sometimes things actually like release out of the energy field from that goes physical, is our densest layer of our energy field, which is our body. And then, you know, there's the emotional and mental layers of our energy field. But sometimes stuff actually like leaves the body. Do you have a way that you clear the space, that you like open your work day, that you kind of keep the space clear? How do you kind of keep that energetic hygiene in your office?
Right. Yeah. I think the easiest thing that I do is to just open a window after I finish a session with a client. I share space, so I don't like burn anything like that. That's something that I do for myself though. But kind of just kind of keep it simple. But something that I do before I start a session with anyone is ground myself. And I think that's probably the most important. Because I've definitely felt after sessions like, whoa, that's hurting. That wasn't hurting before. Like, why is my mind like really racing? So that's probably most important. But sometimes, right, sometimes that energy does leak into, you know, into myself or the space around me. So just opening a window and after a session and grounding myself before I start.
So how, what are the practices that you enjoy for grounding yourself?
Yeah.
What kind of stuff do you like to do?
So, well, I guess before a session, I kind of just say a few words to kind of put like a barrier, energetic barrier between myself and my client, and just kind of root down or imagine, you know, imagine myself being really rooted and grounded in the earth. So that's what I do before a session. Other than that, I feel like walking in the woods, practicing yoga, meditating, like sitting on the floor, being as close to the ground as possible feels really supportive for me.
Hmm. I like that. So it's really your work during the day is very much anchored, it sounds like, in your morning practices.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. Do you walk even when it's really, really cold out?
Yes. Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What, how, like, tell me about your love for walking. It's been coming more into my own awareness of like, walking has all these benefits and I keep reading about it. And I also love walking, but tell me about your walking routines and what that's all about for you.
Yeah. So even when it is really cold out, I mean, I do check the weather before I step outside, but just bundling up and going for a walk, it's just tuning into my breath. I mean, of course, my mind is going to other thoughts. But it's just a practice that feels really important to me. And I used to do a lot of running. Every now and then I still will, but proved to be just like too hard on my knees. So walking kind of took the space for that. And, you know, walking in the woods, even just 30 minutes, it's going up hills. It's still kind of like cardio in like a low impact kind of way.
Yeah. And so it has the cardio, kind of gets your body moving.
Yeah.
All your blood circulating.
Yeah, it definitely gives me more energy too, and just kind of keeps everything fluid and kind of flowing. I just feel physically and mentally kind of just more clear.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good practice. Mm-hmm. I remember I went for like a 5-mile walk the other day. It was like last week, and I like met some cows down the road.
Oh, sweet.
And gave them some Reiki. And I was just like, wow, it's so beautiful. I mean, it was cold but sunny. And I was like, oh, this is what I've been needing in the middle of winter, is just
absolutely
getting some sun on my face. And it was, yeah, it felt really nice just to very slowly walk by all these scenes that I drive by.
Right.
That takes like a blink of the eye.
Right.
When I'm driving, or maybe I'm not able to fully immerse myself into that visual like landscape, you know. So it's
right.
Yeah, it brought me a lot of joy. I was like, oh, I should be doing this way more often.
Yeah, it's for me, it's also moving slowly, right, observing our surroundings. And I always stop at least 2 or 3 times when I'm walking and just pause and take in what I'm observing and just tune into my body. And then feel so grateful for where we live. It's been really sunny this winter as well, so that's been awesome.
Helpful.
Yeah.
And when you talk about tuning into your body, what does that look like for you?
Well, it always starts with my breath, for sure. And
so you pay attention to your breath first?
Right.
Like the in-breath, the out-breath?
Right. Yes. And then I kind of, if I'm doing a meditation, kind of scan my body. So that might start at the top of my head, go down my neck, into my throat, my chest, my abdomen, my legs, my feet. And I find that really helps ground me. And, or at the same time, if I'm feeling stressed, taking a deep breath and noticing, where do I feel that in my body right now? Recognizing it, but then not judging myself for where I'm feeling tension, or if I'm angry, or if I did react, just pausing is really important.
Yeah. And so do you find that you're able to, when you're kind of pausing and observing those places of tension in your body, what effect does that have for you in that moment?
Well, it definitely calms my nervous system. And we talked earlier about sympathetic versus parasympathetic. I feel like it kind of shifts things in that way for me. And it allows me to kind of think more clearly. Whereas before, if I was feeling really stressed or noticing tension, I can just calm my mind and recognize it, call it for what it is, not judge it, and then feel more clear about it.
I like that.
Yeah.
Sounds like a very nice practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in your massage therapy, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Energy Matters, and we're chatting with Kate Hennessy. We're going to take one more short break, we're going to listen to Dance to This, featuring Ariana Grande by Troye Sivan. So stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Energy Matters. I am your host, Caroline Redderman, and we are here with Kate Hennessy today. So welcome back, Kate.
Hey, Caroline.
Hi. So tell me, so I know that you are on the internet currently. If people are curious about the work that you're doing out in this world and deep tissue massage and trauma-informed massage, where can people, how do you put yourself out there? Where can people find you?
Yeah, so people can visit my website, khmassage.com. I try to post, do blog posts there regularly, you know, about self-care, but also about deep tissue massage and that kind of thing. I'm also on Instagram, katehen.lmt. And then on Facebook, Kate Hennessy, Massage Therapist.
Nice. Very nice. How do you like to, as you're growing your massage therapy practice, how does social media fit into that whole scope of things for you?
Yeah. So I really like Instagram. I think it's a really great platform. And I really like sharing information about myself, self-care, a lot of stuff like that. But then also when I have a conversation with a client or I overhear something, it kind of makes me curious. So I do a little research about it. I posted about knots. We talked about knots, differentiating that between a trigger point and a tender point. So sharing information like that is really fun. I really enjoy it.
So demystifying the behind the scenes.
Yeah. It's more, for me, I try to use it to educate others, not just promote my business.
So, yeah, that's what it's all about. I mean, right. I feel like nobody wants to be sold to constantly. It's just like, we just want to learn.
Yeah.
We're just curious people out here.
Yeah.
So that's lovely. So Instagram is a good platform for you,
mm-hmm.
As well as writing.
Yep. Yeah.
Cool. Do you get onto the Facebooks at all or any of those other platforms that people can find you?
I kind of share posts from Instagram to Facebook, but then I'll also post articles on Facebook separately. But I kind of cross post, which I don't really know in the social media world if that's like the right thing to do. But I kind of just like using both to kind of share similar information.
Yeah. Does that help? Has that helped grow your business?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. Yeah, I've been dabbling in Facebook ads and advertisement in general, Google My Business. And yeah, I would say I've gotten a handful of clients.
Yeah,
from there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm always just curious as how different people use social media because, you know, I have friends who are sort of old school massage therapists and you get either a number or a business card and they have zero web presence and they have fully booked clients. And then I have other folks that I know that are, you know, younger and growing their business, and social media is an important part of their platform for getting the word out. So,
right.
So I'm always just curious as to how people in the healing arts like to promote themselves.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think when I was in massage school, the instructors were always saying you will grow your business by word of mouth, which is huge, of course.
Absolutely.
But I think the way the industry's kind of growing, there's so many massage therapists all over the valley, which is amazing, but having a social media presence, I think, is helpful for being found. And I also have online booking, which I think is really important. It just makes it so easy for everyone.
Yeah. What advice would you give to yourself, the coming just straight out of massage school, what advice would you give to yourself just getting started, being a few years into your career now?
I would say be patient and take your time. Don't push yourself too hard.
Do you think your younger self would hear that advice?
That's a good question. Maybe a little bit. Maybe like the patience part. Don't push yourself. I definitely did that for the first couple years. But like I said, I've definitely taking a step back and just focusing on one path rather than two has been helpful for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keyword focus.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So what little pieces of advice would you like to throw out into the universe, having the Valley Free Radio airwaves at your disposal? Anything that you want to throw out there that you feel like is important information that you really feel strongly that people should know?
Sure. I mean, I think just keeping it simple is remember to rest. I just feel like everyone I know is moving so fast, doing so many things at once, mostly for other people, which is great. But we need to take care of ourselves first, because when we can take care of ourselves, we can show up more fully for others in our relationships and our work too.
Yeah. What is rest? I don't even think sometimes people understand the concept of rest. Like what kind of activities are rest? How do you understand the concept of rest?
Right. I think it can be very individual and specific for every person. For me, it's having a cup of tea and writing in my journal or reading a book, kind of what I said that I do to kind of wind down at night. But then it can also be taking a walk, taking a break from work. I think that's how I differentiate between working and rest, or doing rest, because when I'm working, I'm not really resting.
Right. Because when you're working, you're very mentally focused. You're like using your body in a very physical way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, it could be, rest could also be going for a run for some people, I guess, if it's giving them rest from their work or from another area of their life.
Interesting. Yeah. I like that framework.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Well, thank you so much, Kate. I appreciate that you come on the show and, you know, shared with us about your passion and what you do.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me, Caroline.
Absolutely. Yeah. So like I said, if you are curious about what Kate does, you can go to her website and check out more for yourself, which is khmassage.com. So stay tuned for Democracy Now! Will be coming up, and we are going to close out with Gonna Love Me by Teyana Taylor. So have a great weekend, everyone, and be well.